Let's come in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1 this evening. I remember heading down to Grove Baptist when I was a pastor there a number of years ago, and I was going to preach the gospel on the Sunday evening. And on the way down, I was listening to the news, and I heard that Joey Dunlop sadly had lost his life in Estonia. I remember following with interest the funeral service for Joey Dunlop. And that's one of the hymns they sang at the funeral service. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. I often wondered, did Joey Dunlop have that shepherd? It's all right to talk about the great shepherd and the chief shepherd and indeed the good shepherd. But if you're not able to say the Lord is my shepherd, then it counts for nothing. There's a lady I know very well. She's seriously ill at the moment. She's been told it's terminal. When she was spoken to about her salvation, she said, I pray to my mum and I pray to my dad and I pray to Mary. And she says, that's all I need. That's an awful way to die. I wonder tonight, do you have the shepherd? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Let's read these verses together in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning to read at verse number 1, please. Isaiah 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation! A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it as iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We'll end at verse 18. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. One of the things I pay close attention to is the weather forecast. I particularly don't like wind. And it seems that storms have got worse from the start to give them names. Now, it's probably in my head. It began this season with Storm Abigail. Now, my daughter's called Abigail, so I blame her for everything. Started off with Abigail, Storm Abigail, and then we had Barney, we had Clodagh, we had Desmond, Storm Eva, Storm Frank, Gertrude, Henry, Imogen, Jake, and I think the last one was Katie. And if we keep on having storms, well, it's all going to end with Storm Wendy. And then we're going to start again with probably a boy's name this time, beginning with A. I don't like storms. I don't like to lie in bed and hear all the storms that's going about me. We live on a hill. Well, Refrailen's nothing but a hill. If you're anywhere near Refrailen, you're going to get blown away. And so I'm not too fussed on strong winds. What a terrible forecast we see in Isaiah chapter 1. Indeed, it's not even a forecast. It's real events. It's things that are happening. What a bleak picture we see as we read those verses in chapter 1. You know, it's written 700 years approximately before Christ, but it could be written in April 2016. What a terrible, terrible picture it is. I want to think, first of all, about this bleak outlook this evening. And Isaiah uses some pictures inspired by God to let us see what's going on. He first of all moves into the family, and look at verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And he looks upon Israel like a family, and God has blessed them, God has nourished them. And rather than thank the Lord, they've rebelled against the Lord. They are rebellious sinners. Maybe for someone in the meeting this evening, that's all too real. Maybe tonight there's a young person here, and you're a rebel at heart. Your mum and dad's savior, you're not interested in. What they have done by accepting the Lord seems something that you're not at all interested in. And you're a rebel tonight. You've turned your back on the things of the Lord. You've decided you're going to go your way, make your own path in life, and ignore the teaching of your parents and even the teaching of the church and the teaching of the Word of God. Maybe for you tonight it's all too real. Maybe you're not a young person tonight, but you're still a rebel tonight. You know the gospel, but you've turned your back on the gospel. And in spite of the goodness and the greatness and the generosity and the grace of the Lord, you've rebelled against him this evening. Maybe there's parents here tonight. And for you tonight, this is all too real. You know what it is tonight to have a son or a daughter, and they're out in the mountains, wild and bare this evening. They would never be in a meeting like this. They're far away from the Lord tonight. They're steeped in the things of the world, and it seems they have no interest in what the Lord has to offer. Well, this verse reminds me tonight that God knows exactly where you are, because that's how the Lord viewed Israel, as rebellious children. So God knows all about it tonight. And you can talk to him tonight because he understands. I would encourage you tonight, never give up on them, and keep praying and pray that the Lord might move in a wonderful way. He steps into the family and talks about rebellious children. Maybe tonight that's real to you this evening. And then he goes into the farm, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. If you're ever in the countryside and you get the farmer going to the gate, you'll often see the animals come and they gather around the gate. They know that it's feeding time. And they know the farmer's bringing some meal, probably in buckets, perhaps some hay, some silage, some straw, whatever he happens to be giving them. But the animals seem to understand that here's someone who's coming to do them good, someone who's coming to feed them and to give them something that's absolutely necessary. And the Lord looks into the farm situation and he says, do you see the very animals? The animals know what's good for them. The animals know who is good to them, and they have an appreciation of the goodness of their master. It's often been said that the dog never bites the hand that feeds it. I found out to my cost recently, I was out on visitation, it's a dangerous occupation, and I called to see a lady who hadn't been too well, and I could see no one about the house but two dogs were running about. There was a big dog and a small dog. And I said, if I can sort out the big dog, the small dog will probably be okay. And so when I got out of the car, the big dog came over and I put my hands on the big dog. And he was a very gentle animal. But when I was doing that, the little one had sneaked around the back and caught me by the back of the ankle and sunk the teeth in so far that I needed a new suit and a new pair of socks. I thought I was going to need a new leg as well, but thankfully, the wound's still there, but it's healing. But that dog would never bite its owner. And when the owner came, he was very embarrassed and his wife was very embarrassed. And they only have to speak and the dog will sit. Because the dog knows the master. And as the Lord looks in the farm and he says, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doesn't know. My people don't consider. They're a thankless people. In spite of the goodness of God, they don't have any interest. Is that you tonight? You see, as we look into the family, you're like a rebellious child. In spite of what the Lord has done, you're not interested in him this evening. As we look on the farm, the very animals understand something of the master's goodness and kindness, and they respond, and yet you haven't responded to the goodness and kindness and graciousness of the Lord this evening. The Lord looks into the family, he looks into the farm, he looks at our frame, he looks at our bodies, and he talks about their health in verse 5. Why should you be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And see the words that the Lord uses, stricken, sick, faint, wounds, bruises, sores, untreated, just festering. It's a picture of something horribly ill. It's a horrible picture. Maybe tonight you're saying, look, I'm as fit as a fiddle. Health-wise, I'm in good shape this evening. See, the Lord's not speaking about their physical condition. He's speaking about their spiritual condition. Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In God's eyes this evening, without Christ, without salvation, if you've never been to Calvary, if you've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by his matchless grace, you're dead in trespasses and sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Spiritually, you're sick tonight. From the top of your head to the sole of your foot. If you don't know Christ, there's no goodness in you. All our righteousnesses, Isaiah reminds us, are just filthy rags. God looks into the family. He says, you're like a rebellious son. God looks into the farm. He says, unlike the animals, they have an appreciation of the goodness of the master. You haven't. When he looks into a frame, he says, you're sick. When he looks federally, if I can use that word this evening, when he looks over the land, look what he says in verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Look at verse 7. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. The words again the Lord used, sinful, iniquity, corrupters, you have forsaken the Lord. You've provoked the Holy One to anger. You're gone backwards. You're desolate. What a bleak outlook we have. And surely God could be writing that about our nation this evening. Turning us back on the Lord, and it seems more and more and more. Even our own province. Ulster Teachers Union, at one of their conferences, want to propose that in our schools there are more gender-neutral toilets. What's the world coming to? Where are we heading to? Surely Jesus must be coming very, very soon. What a world in which we live. And as the Lord looks upon this sad picture this evening, he says, you're like a family with a rebellious son, like a farm. You don't appreciate God's provision. When he looks at our frame, he says, you're sick with sin. When he looks federally, you've forsaken the Lord. And then he talks about our folly. It's not that they weren't religious. Look at verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he goats. Verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hold mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. They had plenty of religion. They had plenty of religious activities. The Lord says, I'm sick of it. They had plenty of religion. They had absolutely no reality. They were a rebellious, thankless, careless, religious people. But they didn't know the Lord. Do you see the bleak outlook this evening? And before the Lord can do anything for you, you have to realize where you are tonight. There has to be that understanding that you're lost, without hope, and you need Christ as your Savior tonight. You see the bleak outlook this evening. But then I want to talk about the blessed oasis. Has the Lord abandoned them? Has the Lord given up on them? Is there any hope for this people that we're reading about this evening? Is there any hope for you this evening without Christ? Well, we come to verse 18. And what a glorious verse of Scripture it is. And how it paints a picture of a gracious and long-suffering and merciful God. In spite of what we've been reading, in spite of what we've been understanding this evening, no matter how bad, how black, how dark, how desperate the situation seems to be, here comes the Lord with a gracious, wonderful invitation. Come now, and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see the simplicity this evening. I love to just take these great old gospel texts and break them down so simply. And you see the simplicity. The Lord simply says, come. What an invitation. Just come. If you've ever had a little toddler in the home, you will know when you get on your knees and hold out your arms and say, come. Well, they'll make an effort to get to you. If they can't walk, they'll crawl. But they understand the word come. I think the Lord has made it so simple. And he stands with his arms wide open and he's saying to you tonight, in spite of your sinfulness, he says, come, come. This invitation goes out in verse 2 to rebellious sinners who know the gospel but have turned away. This invitation goes out in verse 3 to ignorant sinners. Notice what it says. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. These are some who just don't know. Haven't given it any thought before. And maybe you've never given it two thoughts in your life before. But tonight the Lord has arrested you just where you sit. Because the Lord wants to speak to you tonight. This invitation goes out to rebellious sinners. This invitation goes out to ignorant sinners. This invitation goes out to burdened sinners. Look at verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Maybe you feel the burden of your sin tonight. Maybe the Lord has been working in your life. As you've listened to the gospel message, as you've understood you're a sinner, maybe the weight of sin has been weighing heavily upon you. The hymn writer said, under the burden of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. Burden one, why will you longer bear sorrows from which he releases? Open your heart and rejoicing share life more abundant in Jesus. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Whether you're a rebellious sinner, you know the gospel but you've turned from it, a burdened sinner, an ignorant sinner, or a vile sinner. Verse 6 gives us a vile picture from the sole of the foot, even to the head. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. What a vile picture it is. This is a simple invitation. See the simplicity tonight. Really what the Lord says, no matter who you are, come, come. But there's urgency in the invitation. Notice the second word, come now. Come now. I can tell you tonight that God loves you tonight because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I can tell you tonight if you come, if the Spirit of God works in your heart, you feel the weight of your sin, you realize that Christ and Christ alone, because of what he has accomplished at Calvary, can be your Savior. You see, he took your sin that he may give you his righteousness. If you realize that tonight and you want to be saved, you can be saved. But let me say this, there's one thing that limits it tonight. And that's time. Time. That's why the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. You could miss the opportunity. You could miss salvation. Many people have been in gospel meetings and listened to the gospel and died without Christ. I remember someone who used to come to a gospel meeting in one of the churches I was in, and he used to come every Sunday night. And I spoke to him over and over again. Sammy, he called him. I said, Sammy, what did we get saved? He said, someday, someday, someday. One day he sat down, as he normally did, on a Tuesday afternoon. He was watching a program called Quincy. Some of you may remember it. His wife spoke to him and said, Sammy, what's wrong? He just died sitting in the chair. Someday became no day for Sammy. And he never got that opportunity. That's why the Bible says, come now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you see the simplicity? Come. You see the urgency? Come now. And I've used the word parley because the Lord wants to speak to you tonight. Look at verse 18. Come now and let us reason together. He says, come. Come and face me man to man. Come and let's talk the matter through. Come and let's get this sorted out. I'm told the word is a legal word. It's as if the Lord's saying, come and let's settle this out of court. Don't wait until the judgment day. Don't wait until you stand before the Lord on that great white throne of judgment and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's too late then. You need to settle it tonight. Settle it out of court. People talk about having their day in court. Let me tell you, it's no fun. It's no joke. I had someone recently who was charged with something and I'd went along to the court to help him, to give him some support. And he was telling me when he was standing in the witness box, his heart was beating so fast and the blood was pumping so quick and his very ears were clamoring with the noise of his heart beating so loud. He said he could not hear one word that the barrister was saying, one word that the judge was saying, one word that his own solicitor was saying. He was so petrified. He was so terrified. What would it not be like to stand and face Jesus Christ? You can bluff an earthly judge, and some have. But you can't bluff Christ because he can see right through you. And if you're still in your sin, you'll be sent to hell for all eternity. But the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. The Lord's not asking you to leave your brain outside when you think of salvation. Come and look at it. Reason it through. You're a sinner tonight. You know you're a sinner. Christ has died. He's the only remedy tonight. And come and accept this wonderful invitation. You see the simplicity tonight. You see the urgency tonight. You see the parley tonight. Come now and let us reason together. You see divinity here. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What an invitation. This invitation comes from the Lord tonight. The Queen will be 90 in a few days' time. I'm not sure about all the birthday party arrangements. I was trying to get some information on it today. I know there's one birthday bash and it's £150 if you want a ticket. And tickets are limited. But if you received an invitation to Her Majesty the Queen's 90th birthday party, I'm sure you would try your best to go there out of respect for our Queen. But here's a much more glorious invitation. Here's a much more important invitation. From a much more important person, the Lord of glory. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I remember getting an invitation to a wedding one time in India. Thank the Lord, by the time I got the invitation, the wedding was over. So I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't know how I was going to tell my friend I wasn't for going to India at a no wedding. But you know, when you turn down this invitation, you're turning down the Lord. You're not turning down the Baptist denomination. You're certainly not turning down Ian Wilson. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You see the simplicity of it. You see the urgency of it. You see the parley in it. You see the divinity. You see the reality again, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wheat. Though your sins, it's a personal invitation because you're a sinner tonight. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be red like crimson. The words scarlet and crimson were used to refer to dye, sometimes taken from a little shellfish, sometimes from a little insect. And the little insect was crushed and the dye was placed on the garment. And once that dye was placed on the garment, it was indelible. It was impossible to remove by human effort. The Lord says to you tonight, you're a sinner tonight. You're a deep-dyed sinner tonight. And no matter what you do this evening, you can never remove that sin. You can go to church, you can do all the sacraments, you can pay well, you can be a good person, and I hope you are. You can try and live a good life, but no matter what you do, you cannot remove that stain of sin this evening. That's the reality tonight. As I mentioned, the little insect, the shellfish, would have to be crushed to get the dye out of it. That reminds me that sin brings pain. The way of the transgressor is hard. In Isaiah 1 verse 5 that we read this evening, why should you be stricken anymore? Is it not time for you to know the peace of God? Well, you need to have peace with God before you will. Are you not fed up fighting against it tonight? The way of the transgressor is hard this evening. There's a stain of sin that must be dealt with tonight. You see the simplicity and the urgency and the parley and the divinity and the reality. And then here comes this glorious possibility. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's the possibility tonight. Those sin stains can be taken away this evening. When I was in the United States, I mentioned to the boys and girls this morning, when Storm Jonas hit, and everything was covered in snow. And when you looked outside the hotel window, you could see nothing, only white. Absolutely nothing else. Everything was just a blanket of snow. And that snow is pure white. And you see, your sins can be taken away and removed. They shall be as wool. Wool that's never been stained. It's just as if it never had been dyed. You know what justification is? Just as if you'd never sinned. That's what the Lord can do. That's the great possibility tonight. He can remove the stain of sin, and it'll just be as if you had never sinned. Just as if that wool had never died. You can have justification, liberation, purification, salvation. How this evening? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's forgiveness with the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. If you accept Him, if you realize you're a sinner, and you accept Him as your Savior by faith, your sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, they'll be removed from you. And they're gone from good. There's some other little pictures perhaps we could draw from this. You know, when snow melts, it's gone for good. See, when your sins are gone, they're gone for good. You see, when you take a sheep, and I've never done this, I've watched it at Balmoral Show, when they take a sheep and the shearer comes in and he goes in around it, and the next thing, the fleece is gone. You know what's impossible to do? You could never put that fleece back on again. See, when your sins are gone, they'll never be added on again. They're gone, and they're gone for good. What an opportunity for you this evening. What a possibility for you tonight. Do you see the bleak outlook in our reading this evening? Things are looking so bad, but here's a blessed oasis. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see the bleak outlook and the blessed oasis? Let me talk finally and very quickly about the blown opportunity. If you're still in Isaiah 1, look what it says in verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Here's repentance. There must be repentance tonight. Except you repent, the Lord said, you shall all likewise perish. You'll never repent if you don't realize you're a sinner. And then after repentance comes a decision. Look at verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? Do you want forgiveness of sins? Now, what's the alternative? Look at verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Paul Daniels, in his biography, Under No Illusion, tells a story in his life about when he was ill and he wasn't sure if he was going to make it. This is a number of years ago. But he recovered, and someone he met said to him, you know, I'm not scared of death, because I realize that when I die, the pain's gone, the suffering's gone, it's all over. And Paul Daniels said, from that moment, I had no fear of death, because death would just be the end of everything. As you know, he passed away a few weeks ago. Sad thing is, tonight, Paul Daniels realizes that he was wrong. After death, the judgment. Luke 16 talks about a man who died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a way to die with false hope. You see the blown opportunity here? In spite of this wonderful invitation, listen to it again. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's a royal invitation for you tonight to come. Lewis Hamilton, Formula One world champion, was invited to the Royal Box at Wimbledon for one of the finals. I'm not sure which one it is. I think it was the men's final. He put a picture on Instagram of his invitation and said, so honored to have the invitation. Luke went forward to being in the Royal Box. He arrived at Wimbledon, but the New England club said, I'm sorry, Mr. Hamilton, you're not getting in. He says, I have the invitation. He says, you can't get in. You're not dressed appropriately. And even though he had many millions of pounds, even though he was very famous, he said, it doesn't matter, you're not getting in. And he had to turn around and go home. He wasn't dressed appropriately. Got me thinking of what Isaiah said about our righteousness. I mentioned it earlier on. He said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Can you imagine trying to get into heaven and saying, I have done good works, I have given to charity, I've lived a good life, I haven't been in trouble with the police, I've never been in prison, I've paid all my bills, I've been a good mom, a good dad, a good husband, a good wife, a good young person, and you're standing there with all your righteousness, and it's just filthy rags, and the Lord says, I'm sorry, you can't get in. Then in Isaiah 61, verse 10, we read this, I will rejoice, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's the garment you need tonight to get into God's heaven. That's the garment you need tonight to be accepted in the Beloved. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, and he took our sin in his own body on that tree, he says, I have taken your sin, and I want to give you my righteousness. And if you repent of your sin and accept Christ as your Savior by faith, then you're clothed in that robe of righteousness. And you're dressed for heaven. Come now, and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well. How will you respond to God's invitation tonight?